Reformed Church.
And we have Jesus as our mirror, which is an awesome, awesome thing. I mean, that is really, the more you think about that, I was thinking about that earlier, the more you think about that, that is such a cool thing that the Bible says that you can look at Jesus and use him as you would use a mirror because you're so much like Jesus. I've explained it before, like, it's like you had an identical twin that every single aspect about that person was exactly like you. Not just similar, but everything. The way their hair was combed, the way everything about them. You could actually look at them to see how you looked. Like if they were so identical, like if you had something on your face, a little food on your face, they did too. If you had like everything, you could look at them to see how you looked, and you could use them the way that you would use a mirror. And that's the way that Jesus to us, that in his glory, that we can look at him and we can find out how we're doing. And I just want to encourage you too that, you know, if you've been discouraged or if you've had a temptation to be discouraged ever with things that you see in your body or in your life, and, you know, obviously you guys come and, you know, we teach here about, you know, everything that Jesus has, what we have, we can see that all manifest on the outside and there's no limitations. You know, we're the ones that end up limiting God, not God really limiting what we can receive. And we talk about all that, and that's really true, but you do have to also understand that the reason why we use Jesus as a mirror is because God knows that as you grow, you're not going to see everything immediately on the outside. So you have to use him as a mirror so that you don't get distracted with what you're seeing on the outside in the flesh. Because if you were already manifesting everything, you wouldn't need to use Jesus as a mirror because you could just look at your flesh and see who you are. But he's actually telling you that you can't look at your flesh to see who you are. And if you look at your flesh, you're going to be deceived and discouraged by that. So he wants you to look at him and focus on him and get caught up with him, and then you'll find out who you are. I mean, that's a perfect example of, we put an article out not too long ago. Hasn't been many articles recently just because we've been doing so much with the store and the music and all that, and Jet and Stella recently. But it might have even been the last article or two articles ago where John fell at the feet of Jesus. It says, as dead in Revelation 1. And when Jesus wanted to encourage John and essentially tell John, it's okay, like you're not going to die because he saw Jesus, he instead told him that, he said, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And so he actually encouraged John by Jesus saying something about himself because he knew that John would relate to that. And that's what the Lord wants to do, right? He wants to tell you something about himself, so you can relate to it and get encouraged again that you're really doing awesome, you're really doing very well. And that's why even like we'll come up here, Pastor Zay will come up and say, you know, I already know how you guys are doing. But he's not talking about your flesh. You could be going through something, and it's not that we're not sympathetic to you going through something in the flesh, but man, you have to look at a better mirror because you're going to see you're really doing awesome, and that's really what's going to encourage you. Even you looking in a physical mirror and even, you know, people even just talking about their weight or their fitness and things like that, that can be a big deal to someone emotionally and stuff, looking in the mirror. And you have to look into the mirror of Jesus to understand who you really are. And here's the truth of the matter, too. Jesus' body is as fit as it could possibly be. And if he's saying he wants you to look at him as your mirror, that means you have that. You have a perfect body living on the inside of you. Not in body form yet. It's in glory spirit form right now. But that can be given to your body. So if you even have aspirations, fitness aspirations and things like that, I think it's about time to stop joking around about our weight and stuff like that and start getting serious about the fact that we have a glorified body living on the inside of us. We've been around the block too many times to be joking about that still. It's important that even with our fitness, I got a perfect body living on the inside of me. I know people listening online right now may not fully understand all that because of the whole perfect body thing. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 5, it says that regarding our glorified body, that we've been given the earnest, or we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We've been given the guarantee of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, that we've already been worked. It said that God has worked us for this very thing, meaning our glorified body. He's already worked us for this very thing by giving us his Spirit as a guarantee of what? Of our glorified body. And he's already done the work in us for that glorified body. When that comes out on the outside, that makes a perfect body. And you say, well, you know, I don't know, you don't know how skinny Jesus is, or you don't know this or that, so how can I relate to, you know, Jesus' body as pertaining to me losing weight or something? He has a perfect body. Listen, I don't care. The Bible said that we don't know exactly what he looks like, but it's a perfect body, and it looks good. So if you just go to believe in that, God's going to start making your body, and he's going to start beautifying your body, And again, if you have aspirations to lose weight or just fitness or just, you know, whatever, eating healthier or anything like that, we got to stop joking around about that kind of stuff and just say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to start believing correctly. Because a lot of our even people have eating disorders, or people that, you know, even Pastor was talking about on Sunday about like comfort food and all that kind of stuff, people using food as comfort. That's all believing stuff. That's stuff that we believe, that God wants to rid you of that. And because if you just try to do a diet and you still believe the same, you're just going to make that marginal improvement. But when you have a difference of opinion about yourself in Christ, that's going to change even your temperance with food, and it's going to change how you perceive yourself. And you're not going to get discouraged, because what ends up happening too is you try to lose weight and you look in the mirror, you don't see progress, you lose hope. And that's a huge thing. You lose hope. You lose expectancy that you're ever going to make the progress that you really want to make in your body. And I'm telling you that you can do more than just make progress in your body. You can see perfection working in your body, and your body can look good because Jesus looks good and we look good in him on the inside of us. It is a good thing that God has done on the inside of us. And again, all the makings for a perfect body live on the inside of you, how much less fitness aspirations and things like that. It's about time we start relating to the Lord and what we see in his body, and know that we got that on the inside that can be expressed on the outside. And again, I know that that's not all just dieting and stuff, but dieting can be a help to you while you're growing, and the Lord will help you with that. The Lord will help you with that. It's true. All you need is a revelation of Jesus. When Jesus comes back, we're just going to see Jesus as he is, and your body's going to be conformed to him, boom, just like that, without any diet. That's absolutely true. I'm not arguing with that whatsoever. But while you're growing your knowledge, if that's not what's happened thus far with your body, and you want to help your body, the Lord will help you with that dieting stuff, and that's a fruit of the Spirit. Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit, which is included in dieting. I've actually heard people even say that the word temperance there in Galatians 5:22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, that temperance there actually has some kind of specific connotation there, implication to eating specifically. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but regardless, it certainly includes it. So it's definitely about time that we just start relating with Jesus and say, no, that's not me. People joke about their temperance or lack of control over their passions or their desires and things like that. That's not me, though. You know, I'm perfect in Jesus, and I have better than that. And you know, that's the way you want to talk. I'm telling you, you start talking that way, you're going to start living that way. You will not live any better than what's coming out of your mouth. That is a truth. You will not live any better than what's coming out of your mouth. It will come out of your mouth first before you take part in the inheritance. Just like Jericho. The commander of the Lord's armies, I'll stop with this. The commander of the Lord's armies, representing Jesus as our shepherd, as our truth, came to Joshua. And Joshua said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." And he was just willing to hear the Lord. That represents the Lord shepherding, that shepherding process. But you'll notice they shouted before they entered the land. And that's, I believe, that's our confession. And the walls came down, which is imaginations and fortifications. That's what that represents. The walls were torn down, just like 2 Corinthians 10. Those fortifications came down. But when did they come down? At the point of confession. At the point it came out of their mouth, that's when it actually came down. And you can't say those wrong beliefs are actually torn down until it comes out your mouth. When it comes out your mouth, then it's truly been torn down in your mind. And therefore, I say, you will not live any better than what's coming out of your mouth. If you talk about yourself in a certain way, you're going to live that way. And if you talk about yourself in Christ, you're going to live in Christ. You say, "But Pastor Mark, I thought you one thing was needful, just to know Jesus." Now you're adding confession. But nope, confession is just an evidence of your mind. That's why I can say that. The fruit that God produces on the outside doesn't come from the confession. It comes from the knowledge. But confession is the indicator of your knowledge.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.